I know it is only 3 days after Thanksgiving and just 2 days after that great holiday Brian talked about last week, Black Friday, but we are now actually in the season of Advent. Advent comes from a Latin word, Adventus, which means coming. So this is the season we prepare for the coming of the Christ child. At least those of us in the church do. That's kind of the idea of Advent. But I suspect that for a lot of people, both inside and outside the church, this time of preparation for Christmas can be a pretty stressful time, too. I heard a story this past week about a pastor who sat down with his family around this time of year, and he said, okay, who can tell me what the four candles in the Advent wreath represent? And a 7-year-old son spoke up right away, and he said, yeah, Dad, I got it. It is love, joy, peace, and peace. And at that point, his 5-year-old sister spoke up, and she said, I know, peace and quiet. And you know, I think probably some of us would love it if we got to spend a whole week on nothing but quiet in the run-up of Christmas. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. It can be a stressful time, and I know it is for a lot of people. Hope is incredibly important, and that's what the the season that the candle that we lit today is the candle of hope, and the Bible is all about hope. But I know that we live in a world that can sometimes seem pretty hopeless. I don't know if you've been watching news, but there is lots and lots of bad news. And I know this past week, everybody's been kind of caught up in the events that have been happening just down the road from us in Ferguson, Missouri. And when you add to that stuff that's happening on the international stage, you've got this ISIS organization that's moving across the Middle East. You've got Ebola in Western Africa that seems like it's still raging out of control. We've got Russia that seems to be causing problems again. You've got Iran that's trying to build a nuclear weapon. And then when you add in, and there's really almost so much that you can't even keep track of it all. I think most of us feel that way. And then when you add to that, some of the personal problems that haunt us and our families, and I don't know that there is any family that is immune to those kinds of things, it can all start to look really grim. The world can start to look really, really grim. Hopelessness begins to seem like the most logical choice, in fact. It's kind of like, I don't know how many of you remember the old yeehaw, the little bit that they used to do on yeehaw. Now, if you know this, I want you to sing it along with me, okay? Because this could be our theme this Christmas. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Very good, very good. You should give yourself a hand. Absolutely. But we live in a world that is pretty gloomy, and despair and hopelessness just seem like the most logical choice. If you're actually paying attention, it seems like the most logical choice. You know, even in the midst of all of this holiday cheer, it happens. Some of you, there's another song that kind of came to mind. This is a song from the Broadway musical Showboat. Which of course is set on the Mississippi River, the late 1800s, and there's this dock worker named Joe sings a song, Old Man River. Beautiful song, but it's kind of about how time just kind of rolls by and bad things happen, and there's a verse in it that says, I get weary and sick of trying, I'm tired of living, but scared of dying. How many of you, does that sound familiar? That sentiment at least sound kind of familiar? Are you weary? Are you sick of trying? Are you tired of living but scared of dying? If so, you're not alone. There are a lot of people that feel that way. Lots and lots of people that feel that way. And that's why hope is so important. That's why this first Sunday of Advent, when we, even though I think it's the, the theme that's most likely to get forgotten, kind of like that kid that wanted peace and quiet. I think it's the most likely to get forgotten because of the world that we live in. But here's some things I want to say about hope. Number one, it's not something that we can manufacture for ourselves. It isn't just about the power of positive thinking. And I know a lot of people think that if you just think positively, it's gonna change everything. It's not just about that. Eventually, you're going to bump up against something that positive thinking isn't going to help you with. Maybe it's going to be a bad diagnosis. Maybe it's going to be the death of a loved one. Maybe it's going to be sudden unemployment or any of another thousand things that can go wrong. So where then does our hope come from? Our hope comes from God, from trusting in His promises and experiencing His presence. That's where it comes from. That's where hope comes from. Trusting in His promises and experiencing His presence. So let's first of all talk about the promises of God. The Bible is filled with God's promises. From promises like, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's one of my favorites. Promises from like the one from the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Promises, Jesus will come again and will take you to Himself so that where He is, you may be also, and so that your burdens might be lifted and your pain and your suffering might be bound up. Now, one of those promises that we have, and these promises are kind of tied together with hope. This is a text from Hebrews chapter 6. Says, so God has given us both His promise and His oath. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. So when we trust in God's promises, when we remember those promises, we have hope. That's exactly what that text is saying. It is the anchor for our soul, firm and secure. And no matter what storms might come against us, that hope will remain for us. Our text for today, the kind of the official text for today, is taken from Isaiah. It's a prophecy, and it was spoken to a people who were living in a really hopeless situation. They were in the midst of what we call the Babylonian exile. Their temple had been destroyed. Their capital city, Jerusalem, had been overrun by a foreign army. They had been forced to move to strange land, and in the midst of that exile, in the midst of that hopeless situation, Isaiah says, a voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, what we see in the Old Testament, especially, are lots and lots of promises like this, saying that eventually your suffering is going to come to an end. Your exile is going to come to an end. God is going to restore you. He is going to come and He's going to be with you. There's the very last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. There's one of my favorite prophecies where it says, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in His wings. Jesus will come again. The Messiah will come, and he will take your burdens and your sin and your suffering upon Himself, and you will be healed. Isaiah gave that King and that Savior a name. He called Him Emmanuel, which of course means God with us. And so there we see that connection again, the connection between promise and presence. And when we trust in that promise and when we experience that presence, it produces hope in us. And critical, I think, to living a faithful life. This past week, I went to visit with Doug Ammer. Doug, as many of you know, is one of our members that he and his wife Tanya come primarily to our Saturday night service. And last August, I mean, so we're talking 3 months ago now, he got very ill, went to the hospital, has been there ever since, multiple surgeries, almost didn't make it, and just this past week he entered into his last round of rehabilitation, and things are looking really good for him, and that's so good, such good news for him and for his family and all of his friends. So when I was visiting with him, I told him I was going to be talking to you guys today about hope. And I said, is there anything you would want me to add to that? And he said, it's funny you should ask, because Tanya and I were just talking about this. He said that when hope began to dim for us, and there were some pretty dim moments. I mean, there were some times where the doctor said, there's nothing else that we can do. So if you pray, you better pray, that kind of thing. You better call your family. I mean, it had got to that point. Bring everybody in. And what he said was that when hope began to dim for us, that was when we leaned on our faith. And if you think about it, that's exactly how it works. When medical science begins to say, hey, there's nothing else that we can do for you, the circumstances look pretty bad, that's when you begin to trust in God's promises and trust in his presence. And the thing about faith is that when we trust in God, he'll never let that hope go out entirely. It might dim, but it'll never go out entirely. God will keep that faith alive. A Christian author by the name of Anne Lamott says that sometimes when we're going through those really difficult times, those really painful times in our lives, it's because something amazing is about to be born. And I believe that. I've seen it. I've experienced it. For Doug and Tanya, who got to celebrate Thanksgiving in the fellowship hall of a little Lutheran church a block or so away from the hospital with their family on Thursday, that something amazing is the rest of his life. You tell me they're not thankful right now. They can't even believe it. That something amazing is a life that he gets to spend now with his children and his grandchildren, and probably someday. And you know, I got to thinking about this, and I think that even if circumstances had been different, I still think that this family would have trusted in God. That even if things had turned out differently, they would have still leaned on his promises and his presence. They still would have been people of hope, because hope isn't about circumstances. Just like we talked about Thanksgiving isn't always just about circumstances. In the end, our hope is future oriented. It's about what God is we know is going to do for us. That it's about our heavenly kingdom. And if we read that, you know, that God is going to, he's going to come, he's going to make it there. The victory is going to be won. In Revelation, it says he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All of these things are going to be gone forever because the victory has been won. And when we know that and when we trust in that, it brings hope even now, even in the midst of whatever we might be experiencing, because we know that ultimately it's going to be good. God has promised us that. We've experienced that. Isaiah was the voice of hope for the people living in exile. That was in like 800 BC. 800 years later, John the Baptist spoke the exact same words. He was the voice crying out in the wilderness, make straight in the desert a highway for our gods. He was the voice of hope for that generation, saying God is up to something. He is going to do something completely new. The light is coming into the darkness. My challenge for you on this first Sunday of Advent is for you to be the voice of hope for this time. It is so easy to be the voice of everything else. It's so easy to be the voice of cynicism or what we like to call realism. Now, I have a friend that says, I just calls them as I see them. You know, and all you have to do is look around. I mean, you're going to find something to complain about. You're going to find something to be negative about. It's everywhere. Like I said, have you turned on the TV news? Have you opened up the newspaper? Have you looked around? I mean, but here's the thing about disciples, that we're kind of hard-headed when it comes to giving up. We just don't do it. We are people of hope. We are people of faith. And remember what faith is? Faith is looking at those things that are unseen, paying attention to the things that are unseen, not what can be seen, which is obvious, but what is unseen, which is yet to be revealed, but can be revealed, and we can be a part of that. I heard a story this week that is just, I think, a perfect illustration of this, and it's a great tie-in because it's right here in our own community. I'm a part of Lions Club. We meet every Tuesday for lunch, and we have a speaker come in. And this past week, we had Michael Davis, who is the coach of the girls' high school basketball team. And he told a great story, came in with a couple of his girls, too. And he said that last year they had a great season. They went 17-6, got beat, and I think finally got knocked out in the division finals. So they've made it a long way. This year they're ranked 13th in the state. They've already won two games. I mean, it looks really good for them this year. But he said 2 years ago they only went 14-11, and it wasn't that great of a season, even though it was essentially the same team. And this is what he said. There's one difference between that year and last year. One difference. Wasn't his coaching, wasn't a new strategy, it wasn't the conditioning that he did with them. He said it was the voice of one girl who decided that she would step up and be the voice of hope and encouragement for the whole team, both on the floor and off the floor. Same team, vastly different results, because there was one person, one girl, who was ready to be that positive leader, ready to make a difference, to stand up and be the voice of hope. Is that not an amazing story? Think of the impact we can have if we are that voice of hope in our families, in our church, in our community. It can be done. You can make a big difference if you choose to be that voice of hope. On this first Sunday of Advent, my prayer for all of us is that we might find our hope in Christmas, that we might experience that hope, and that we might know it, that we might not only trust in His promise and experience His presence with us, but that we might also take that next step and give voice to the hope that is in us. Let us pray. Lord, you have called us here into this place to remember that into the midst of a vast darkness, you sent your Son as a single light, a light that the darkness may have tried to overcome but could not. We thank you for that light, and we know that we are people of that light. Help us to give voice to that, to be witnesses to it, to take that light into the darkness of the world. For we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.